John tells us here in the 11th verse that he saw a great white throne, and he saw someone sitting on it, and it was somebody whose face the earth and the heavens fled away from, and there was found no place for them. You know, people in our world are always looking for good news. They're always seeking some comforting words, some encouraging conversation. I was talking to a man the other day, and he said, well, that's what the churches are supposed to do, is make people feel better. And I said, I don't know who told you that, but they don't know what they're talking about. The church of the Lord God is to speak His truth. And His truth's not always comforting. God is a God of justice and a God of righteousness, a God of holiness. And He must, and I mean must, exercise essential justice to all humanity in due time. At the time of the great white throne judgment, all people's arguments and claims are going to be set aside. And His glory is going to be exalted. In this judgment, absolute justice will be the rule in practice. Every mortal must deal thoroughly with God's holy character. All believers will be accepted there. Not in themselves, not in their works, not in anything they've done, but in the love and merit of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody else there is going to stand before God, stripped of all their vain hopes, and receive the eternal condemnation of God on every single soul. I want to bring you a message tonight, if the Lord will help me, that I have entitled The Judgment Seat of God. People in this world always say they want justice. They always say they want the law to be carried out. And I find that to be true, unless whatever the law says in any way interferes with what they wanted to do anyway. And then they want a little leniency. I tell you, God's a God who's holy and righteous. There's no leniency. There's mercy for His chosen, but there's no leniency. First of all, I want to talk a little bit about the timing of this judgment. This judgment is inclusive. I know people disagree about this, and I have a different perspective on eternity than a lot of people do. But I went to college for 4 years, to a Bible college, and I had studied with Moody Bible Institute and done some other work. And all I found out in all that studying was what other people believed. And when you read the Bible, this is a pretty simple thing. It really is. I only see one judgment. Now, there's some other judgments that take place, but there's just one judgment. And it's right here, at this great white throne. Men asked Jesus, when's the judgment? When's it going to be? And He just told them it's in the future. He didn't give any details at all. In Mark 12:40, for as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. That's all He told them. They didn't believe it then. They don't believe it now. Judgment is the certainty that must follow death. Hebrews 9:27 tells us it's appointed unto all men once to die, and then the judgment. Now everybody, every preacher I know of, they quote the first half of that verse. Every time somebody dies or somebody's real sick, they just say, remember, it's appointed unto all men once to die. Well, that's not the bad part. That's not. The judgment is fixed. God has set a date for that judgment to take place. You say, well, when is it? It's whenever he wants it to be. I don't know. I have no idea. It might be tomorrow, or next week, or next month, or next year, or the next decade, or next century. It might be 10,000 years. I don't know how long it'll be, but I do know this. I know who's going to be in charge. I know whose law is going to be exercised. Judgment will be followed by the destruction of the heavens and the earth. This planet we live on, God created this thing from nothing. He said, let there be, and there was. I think about that sometimes. I was watching something on TV the other day about those sequoia trees out in California. Some of those trees are 200 or 300 feet tall. And I want you to imagine this. If you've never been there, if you've been there, maybe you've seen them. But I the base of those trees is it's bigger than this building. There's 2 or 3 of them. They've cut tunnels through them, and they got cars drive through them, 2-lane roads going through the middle of the tree. The same God that built that tree speaks bugs into existence that are so small we can't see them without an electron microscope. But that God's going to be in control. The Lord Jesus Christ has been appointed to be the designated judge. He's going to sit on the bar of eternal justice. And God has committed all judgment to his nail-scarred hand. All judgment. You know, I get tired of hearing this foolishness on the news and in the newspaper about this judgment and that judgment, and they appeal this, that, and the other. And somebody, they did something about what it was, and they said, well, they're going to give him a court date next May or something like that, and I guess that'll go on. There'll be a trial, and then they'll appeal that, and they'll appeal that, and they'll appeal that, and they'll appeal that, and finally, if something's bad enough, they take it to the Supreme Court, and they used to make sound, rational judgments. But if you believe for a moment that the Supreme Court of the United States makes sound, reasonable judgments, I must inform you, you're deluded. But God's gonna sit his son on that throne, and he's going to rule in eternal justice. He's going to rule righteously. He's going to rule perfectly, and there'll be no appeals. The sheep and the goats are going to be separated, and it'll be his responsibility. Those are my sheep. Well, what about these goats? They don't belong to me. They're not mine. Well, they belong to the church, but they're not mine. Well, they did this, that, or the other, but they're not mine. They sang in the choir, but they're not mine. They stood in the pulpit, but they're not mine. And those sheep are going to be judged as if they were Christ, because they are. Christ will come again to ascend that majestic seat of holy justice, and he will rule and reign in justice like it's never been ruled. I used to, when I was a young man, young Christian, didn't know any better, I used to read passages like this, and I think, boy, that's going to be a long day in court, you know. It's going to take millions of years to do all that. Not in God's system. God's an eternal now, and he can do things so fast we can't imagine it. And all humanity is going to come to his judgment bar. Final judgment is going to be declared on all people and all nations and all angels. Everyone will appear for justice to be exercised rigidly. I'm going to ask you a question, and I know the answer, but I just want you to think about it. Do you wish our courts in this nation exercised justice rigidly? Think about that before you answer it. Many people will live in Christ, and others will die in exercise justice. Hell's a terrible place. The lake of fire is worse. This judgment seat will make that decision. The perfect justice of God is going to be on open display here. God's righteous judgment is going to be in plain view. God said, this is the way it is. That's the way it is. Told the children of Israel. They told Moses, said, go up there and ask God what he wants us to do. We'll do it. No problem. They failed miserably. And I don't want to break anybody's bubble, but we have done any better. His justice will be a presence that will bear retribution against sin. Sin's going to be cleared away. His judgment is going to be individual. It's going to be personal for everybody there. We talked about rewards a couple weeks ago. All those folks over here with the goats, they're going to get their due rewards. They're going to get just what they deserved. And all those folks over there with the sheep are going to get just what Christ bought for them, which is everything. And he'll render pure justice to everyone based on their actions. Well, what about these folks? Didn't they do anything? Doesn't make a difference what they did. They have a representative who's perfect and exalted and accepted completely by God. He's their representative. He's their surety. He's a lawyer that's never lost a case. Neglected opportunities by flesh increase their condemnation. There are people over here who have done things wrong. There are people over here who did not do things wrong, but they could have done things right. God will bear justice on that. The guilt of everyone without Christ will be cleanly exposed and plain in this judgment. Every action, every thought, every attitude is going to be judged, and judged rightly. The best of human judges try to make judgments. They fail often because they're mortals. The judge here is not a mortal. None will pass this judgment bar and be found worthy to live. All those goats are going to go where goats ought to go. There'll be no defense arguments presented. All excuses are silent. Now, I've dealt with children enough, and I know you all have too, that children always have an excuse. They always do. It may be the most ridiculous thing you ever heard, but they always got an excuse on why they did something or why something happened. They have invisible friends that do things and invisible enemies that do things. We have those things happen at our house. Maybe you do at yours. Well, I'll tell you, that won't do them any good here. Nobody's going to pass judgment here and be found worthy to live unless they're in Christ. Christ will speak against every person who rejected him. Every person. And I'm talking about Christ of the Bible. Christ the Son of God. Christ the Word. And those who are in the book of life will be declared innocent and righteous because of the mercies of God the Son. All who have refused Christ in the gospel here will be condemned. All. Eternal justice is a basic tenet of the gospel of grace. It just is. The gospel is founded on justice. God's holy. God's righteous. He's going to do always what's right. Judgment is a time of eternal misery to all people who have discredited and despised Christ. Those Pharisees and Sadducees who cursed him and condemned him just felt absolutely, proudly confident they'd done the right thing. Even Pilate, that foolish man, washed his hands and said, "My hands are clean," but they weren't. The wrath of God must be dealt with for everybody that's outside of Christ. Everybody. Sometimes I watch this. There's a show on television. I see it every once in a while. It's about different jails and prisons and stuff. Sometimes it's about prisons that are outside this country. And I watch those people and they're not like, "Buddy, I don't want to be in there." I don't know all that goes on. I'm sure they're not showing all, but they show enough. I don't want to be in there. I'm telling you, the wrath of God is going to fall on all those outside of Christ. Those who are preserved in Christ are accepted, not in himself, but in his merit and his worth. I saw a great white throne. This is the final state of the sinful and the final state of the righteous. This is the judgment of the living and the dead. Both Jews and Gentiles will be objects of this judgment. There's nobody protected. The children of Israel, all through the Old Testament, you read this over and over again, they sinned and sinned and sinned against God, and he would punish them, and he would put them into captivity and do that and the other, and then he'd put his arm around them and said, "But I still love you." The Gentiles were outcasts. They were dogs. But when Christ came, the little dogs found life. And both Jews and Gentiles will be objects of his mercy and of his justice. The wicked dead will be raised to deal with God in righteousness, as declared in the scriptures. The ultimate punishment of wicked sinners will be the lake of fire. It'll be an eternal and a complete judgment. Now, we think about people going to hell, and the Bible has some pretty powerful descriptions of people who are in hell, but hell is being done away with, and the lake of fire is replacing it. It's worse. It will incorporate conscious suffering of both body and soul. It'll be according to their actions and their attitudes in this life. But the righteous will find final bliss here. They have complete satisfaction, all sorrows removed, all tears are gone, death is exhausted, sin is discarded. God's on the throne. Christ is the light of the city. They're happy in him. They'll dwell in the likeness of Christ and they'll rejoice forever. I think about this a lot. It's one of the things I don't know how to deal with. You see, preachers don't know how to deal with stuff either. I've tried to deal with this. Nothing in life has ever made me completely happy for very long. Maybe for a few minutes, a few hours, a few days, a few years. But pretty soon it gets old, so you get used to it. You think, what can I do next? What can I get next? God's going to put us in a place where we're going to rejoice forever. Forever. They'll all bask in the love of God and in the light of His glory. What a city. This great white throne is a declaration of justice, and it's also a declaration of mercy. The throne of judgment, before which they will all appear. It sets forth the power of God and the holiness of God and the sovereignty of God. It's the throne on which the omnipotent God will sit and judge all His creation. It's pure and spotless and righteous and just, unlike any other. There isn't any other court in the world or in the universe that's ever been like that. The judge who sits here on the bench is the holy, sovereign Lord God, who will never be questioned. It's a place of terror for the ungodly and a place of perpetual peace for all the saints. The Lord Jesus is coming again to reign on His throne. It'll be a full resurrection of all who ever lived. Believers will be raised to meet the Lord in glory. What a day. The wicked will be raised to meet the Lord of glory in judgment. And after judgment, the earth's going to be destroyed and everything's going to be made new. The righteous are redeemed. They are righteous according to God's accurate accounts. Now, all kinds of people say they're good folks. You know, they're upright, righteous, law-abiding. I think about that every time I hear somebody say, I'm a law-abiding citizen. I'll bet you are. In the United States, you can drive 75, 85 miles an hour if the cops don't catch you, but you're not law-abiding. In this place, all justice will reign. Those who are saved will be saved by God's free grace and His Son. You know, heaven was purchased for all of the elect by Christ, who predestinated them to achieve this purchased inheritance. Every once in a while, I look in a magazine, I see a picture of some old house or something like that. In foreign countries, in Europe and in Eastern, Western Asia and so on, my house is 120 years old. It was built in 1895. In Europe, that's still a new house. In this country, people think, I've lived in this house for 10 years. I got to get rid of it and build me a new house. I tell you, God's got a place that he purchased in His Son's blood a long time ago. And He's building an apartment for every one of His saints there. All the evil and the ungodly are, at the end of this judgment, are cast into the lake of fire forever. No mercy, no pity, no hope, and no end for the wicked. The wrath of God will attack them in absolute justice. You don't want absolute justice after you. Only the righteousness of Christ can purchase a pardon from this justice. I saw a great white throne, him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. This last judgment is declared of God. This is a judgment that's outward and visible. You know, God deals with our hearts. He deals with our souls. He convicts us when we sin, when we fail. I have done things in my life and did not know they were wrong, and been very surprised when God spoke to me through His Word or through His Spirit and said, that's wrong. And I had to start praying, oh God, give me grace to not do that. Evil has been reserved for this absolute justice. You know how much evil there is in the world. Do you have any idea how much evil there is in this little one horse town we live in? I want you to think about that for a minute. There are dishonest, disreputable people, men and women, from the best families and the worst families in this community, and they're going to have to deal with God over that. This is the vindication of biblical warnings come to practice. The object of this final judgment is a manifestation of the final outward condition under sin, which is God's judgment. It'll be a revelation also of the righteous justice of God. God's righteous. He's just. He's not gonna punish people who are not guilty. He's not gonna punish people who are not sinners. Every one of those goats is guilty. Guilty. Your friend or mine, the main difference. They're guilty. The perfect mortal nature of Christ reveals perfect justice in action. He's gonna sit on this throne, he's gonna rule in justice. Absolute justice. Every once in a while I have to go to court for something. I don't go any more often than I won't have to, because I'm always afraid they'll get me. But I've been up there with people for various reasons, and I get aggravated and frustrated every time I go to the courthouse. It's just like chasing a dog around in circles. Well, okay, we'll put your case up for, let's see, today is August 9th. We'll put it on the next April, second Wednesday in April of next year. We'll give you a trial. How's that justice? If you're guilty of something and they're not going to even have your trial till next April, how's that justice? If you're innocent, how is that justice? The perfect mortal nature of Christ, however, reveals perfect justice in action. He's sitting on the throne. He assures justice while he perfects the majesty of a holy God. You see, the court systems here are trying to keep the lawyers happy. The court system of the great white throne is trying to glorify God. No, it's not trying to glorify. It is glorifying God. The subjects of this final exercise of justice, the dead who now live again and have been charged with all their guilt. Cemeteries are empty. Everybody's in one pot. Sheep or goats? Sheep or goats? Angels and humans. Sheep or goats? The evil angels will also experience divine justice. Now, they experienced some justice when they were cast out of heaven. when they were forced to follow Satan out. But now this is the final judgment, and they're going to have to deal with God in the fullness and the unmitigated blast of his absolute justice. Righteous angels don't sit with these folks, because these folks are there by the righteousness of Christ. The angels who are holy have always been holy. The ground of this final judgment is simple. The law of God is fulfilled in conscience and Scripture. God tells you something, you better listen. Scripture tells you something, you better listen. The redeemed of grace are displayed here in perfect justice. Every one of those sheep, I don't care who they are, what they've done, what they haven't done, they're there and accepted of God in perfect justice because of what Christ has done. Those who are not in the book of life are judged by the law of God. And I'll tell you, you don't want to be judged by the law of God. The righteous and the wicked both get their eternal reward. These folks have had all of their lifetimes to live in integrity and honesty and purity before God, and they have not. They not only have failed in their conduct, they failed in their desire. They don't even want to. These folks over here are under the righteousness of Christ. He's sufficient. I saw a great white throne, him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. There was found no place for them. Old brother Robert Burnham once wrote these words in a hymn. On yonder glorious height, King Jesus does appear. Upon the judgment seat with millions at his bar. Behold, the awful judge is come to fix their everlasting doom. Sinners must now come forth and stand before the Lord, whose word they scorned on earth, whose children they abhorred. Then speaks the judge, "You sinners go from my blessed face to endless woe. But now, my soul, behold that host at his right hand. Oh, see the blood-washed world boldly before him stand. How pleased they look, how bright they shine, while Jesus cries, 'These are mine.'" That'll be a glorious day. A glorious day. At that last day, all human evaluations will be finished and God will clearly reign. The arguments and the pleas of flesh are laid aside, and God will sit on the throne of justice, and it'll be perfection. The children of grace have no firmer hope in themselves than do any other mortals. But Christ will stand as our surety, and he will successfully intercede for each of us. I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. There's coming a judgment. Amen.